doing his thing with the youth, and we're very thankful for that. We do miss them when they're not here, but God's doing a work there, and God's doing a work here too. I don't want you to miss anything. And we're going to say a prayer right now, even though it's not in the order of service, because I think we need to pray. Ray is getting up and sharing a testimony. It's a brief one, but it's a testimony he's been talking about sharing for well over a year. And it's one of the more difficult things he's ever done in his life. But this isn't about you hearing Ray. This is about you hearing God through Ray. Pray with me, and then Ray will share. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you again for all that's happened here in worship. And we just ask right now that your power, your presence, be something that we feel so strongly that we know what you're saying, when you're saying it, how you're saying it, and how it's relevant to us. We pray specifically for our brother, Ray Spivey, right now, that you would use him, that you would touch his tongue, that you would allow him to share what you would have him to share in the way you want him to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Forgiveness. Is there someone in your life that you need to forgive, but something is holding you back? It's been 36 years, but it's still like yesterday. July 10th, 1983 is a day I'll never forget. It's one I'll remember the rest of my life. My brother-in-law came to my house about 7 in the morning to let me and Debbie know that my brother had been killed in his home. Ray was my oldest son at the time. At the time, had just been born. He was about 6 weeks old. He was born on May 25th. It was a shock. It was like a bad dream. All the family and I wanted was justice. I wanted revenge, but I knew I couldn't do anything because I had a newborn son. I knew in my heart that was not the answer. After months of investigation by the sheriff's department, they made some arrests, and the person that killed my brother, he was not found guilty. I struggled with this for 20-some years. After getting serious in my relationship with God and Jesus Christ, I knew that I had to forgive the man that had killed my brother. After I forgave him, it was like a weight was lifted off of me. I cannot describe the feeling. Unless you experience it, that's all I can. I mean, it's just unreal. But not forgiving wasn't hurting me. I mean, wasn't hurting him, it was hurting me. Forgiving is not easy, but God forgives us, so we need to do the same. This is a verse that goes with it. Matthew 6, verse 15. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins.
We began last week with a series that I call Stories of Summer. These are going to be parables that we look at, and the parables are stories that Jesus told as he taught to people that were listening to him. Parables are simple stories. Parables are stories that are very much connected to everyday things that are happening. And I believe the reason Jesus told that is because he wanted all of his teaching to always be relevant. He wanted it to be easily understood. He wanted people to not have to struggle to understand what it was God wanted them to know. I believe the same is true now. The parables that we're looking at, I believe they have a message for us that's just as simple, that's just as relevant. I believe that the scripture that we heard, the testimony that we heard, the songs that we've sang, I believe all of them are relevant if we will but open our hearts, minds, and souls to receive and hear as we not just receive, but we also give to God, recognizing that all good things come from Him. Today is going to be difficult, not just for Ray. You've already heard how difficult it was for him. But if we are open, if we're honest in our connection this morning, it's going to be difficult. I try to pray as I prepare each message, not just that I will share a message or share even the message God wants me to. I pray that God will help me to connect with whatever the needs are of the people that are going to be present when the message is shared. And I don't know who's going to be here on any given Sunday morning. I don't know what you've had going on during the week, but I try to pray every week that what is shared, what is read, what is taught, what is heard will be relevant to what you are facing right now. That's what God desires. God doesn't bring you here just to make a warm place on a pew. God brings you here for a reason and a purpose and wants to bring about change in all of our lives. And so as I prayed, something I felt more strongly than typically when I'm praying, there are some people here today that are hurting, that are struggling. And throughout this sermon, there's probably going to be more struggle, more pain, and more hurt before it gets better, but it will get better. We're going to talk about forgiveness. The reason there are people hurting is because there's some people here that need to be forgiven, and they can't be because they can't forgive themselves. There are other people that are struggling because they have bitterness and anger, because they haven't been able to forgive people that God is calling you to forgive. And neither of those things do I come here thinking in any way, shape, or form are simple and easy. But if you're here today and you're hearing this and that's a struggle you've had, and God has got something powerful to say, and I pray that you'll hear it. Let's pray together. Lord, we've been praying a lot this morning, but we just want to make sure that we're connected to you, that we aren't doing something just because it's listed in an order of worship. We aren't doing something just because we're in a church and that's what people expect. We aren't doing something just because we think we're supposed to. But Lord, as we come to you, that we're open, that we are connected to you, that we're hearing you, that we are doing things, receiving things, hearing things, worshiping you in ways that the Holy Spirit is leading us, and that this is true and genuine. Lord, use me in whatever way you see fit this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As Christians, we can talk pretty good talk when it comes to forgiveness. But I want us to make this a little more real this morning. How easy would it be for you to forgive in the following situation? A classmate, if you're in school or just finished school, a coworker continually mispronounces your name even after you've corrected it. Someone bumps into you in food line, causing you to drop the items in your hands and doesn't even stop to help pick them up. Will you forgive them? Someone cuts you off in traffic. Will you forgive them? What will you do before you? Someone spreads rumors about you that aren't true. Will you forgive them? Someone runs into your car while talking on their cell phone. They never even hang up the phone. They're still talking on the phone when they come over to exchange insurance information. Do you forgive them? Your sister's ex was abusive to her physically and emotionally. For some reason, he asked for your forgiveness. Will you forgive? You are falsely accused of a felony and you serve 10 years in prison from age 19 to 29. The witness against you later comes forward, says he lied, and you're released from prison. The witness asks for your forgiveness. Will you forgive? Someone kills your brother. Will you forgive? Is it a little more real now for us to talk about forgiveness? You see, this parable began by Peter asking, how many times should I forgive my brother or sister who sinned against me? I think the translation that Gene read, it said 77 times. Another one, it says 7 times 70. So my question to you is, depending on what translation you're reading, have you been paying attention to the letter of the law, and have you been forgiving people, and has anybody got up to number 396 in forgiving anybody yet? You see, that's not what it's about. When it's talking about forgiveness, Peter thought that he was being the big man, that he would actually go the extra mile and forgive somebody, not once, not twice, but 7 times. And so it was almost as though he was bragging to Jesus, look at what I'll do. Surely this is more than enough. But Jesus says, no. You forgive and you forgive and you forgive and you forgive again. And this led into the parable that we're going to consider this morning. But before we get to that, forgiveness can be difficult. Why? I think these are the reasons why. We've been hurt. If we're talking about forgiveness, somebody probably hurt us. Secondly, we're probably angry about what they did and that we're hurt. And then third, we're talking about forgiveness, but if we forgive them, we're giving something to somebody that hurt us, that made us angry, then they don't deserve it. That's why forgiveness can be so hard. It's difficult. That's why we don't do it. Forgiveness, again, is something we can talk about a lot in church. I want to talk about the other side and about what it's meant for us to have been forgiven. And again, we can talk the talk, but I want us to be real this morning. God created you. God created every one of us in here, and He loves you more than your mom, your dad, your husband, your wife, your son, your daughter. He loves you more than anyone on the face of this earth ever will or ever can. Every good thing you have comes from God. It says so in James chapter 1 verse 17. Look it up. You have sinned, done things that displease God, or you've not done things that He has yearned for you to do. And you know what? When you say this, it's called a sin of omission. And the sin of omissions, it's not that God needs something from us in order to be complete. The reason God want so much for us to do certain things we're not doing or to not do them is because God loves us and God wants to bless us and God wants our life to be so different than what it is because of how much He cares for us. It's not that God needs something from us. He wants us to give our life to Him so He can give us so much. That's what it's about in terms of being forgiven of our sins. And our sin causes God pain. You may be thinking, really? He's God. He can handle pain and disappointment. I'm the one that hurts. I'm the one that struggled. I'm the one that had this against me. Don't talk to me about God being hurt. I'm the one that's hurting. That's how we feel sometimes. But we need to hear this. Hear what God has to say. He can handle pain and disappointment. He can. But we need to know that what we do impacts God. Listen to Genesis chapter 6 verses 5 through 8. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry He had made man on earth, and He was grieved in His heart. God feels what we do. It pains Him. And the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, from man to animal to creeping thing to birds of the sky, for I am sorry I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. At this time in the Old Testament, God used Noah to try and direct humanity back on course. As time went on, God sent prophet after prophet to tell people they were going the wrong way. That they were not only hurting themselves, they were also hurting God. But finally, God made the ultimate sacrifice of His own Son, Jesus Christ. God knew even before you and I were born that we were going to mess up. That we were going to need forgiveness in a big way. He loved us so much, He provided a way for us to be forgiven even before we sinned. God wants us to be connected to Him. God wants us to have a relationship with Him, and God has done so much to demonstrate this truth. We have it in Scripture that we read over and over again of forgiveness. You know, or you wouldn't be here, I don't think, about Jesus Christ dying on the cross. And then after that death, He rose again. We know the truth of God loving us so much that He would do that. And it's not only that, there are people in your life who God brings and reminds you over and over that He loves you and wants to forgive you. There are second chances. I dare say there's not a person in this room in some way, shape, or form who hasn't received a second chance. So often these second chances are God reaching out to us and saying, I want something different from you. I want to show you my grace. I want to show you my love. I want to give you forgiveness. I want you to be able to live a different life. And there are also life lessons. There is not a day that goes by, not a single day, I don't care how good or how bad it is, that God is not a part of your day. And God desires for you to experience Him. There's also rarely a day goes by, I'm not sure there's ever been a day goes by that I haven't sinned in some way, shape, or form. And I need to know what it means to go to God, not just once, not just weekly, but several times a day in terms of forgiveness. Our sin has a consequence, and that sentence, that consequence is not just death. It is eternal damnation. You know what that is? I'm not a hellfire and brimstone preacher because I just don't, that's not how God leads me to preach. But I tell you, there is truth in the fact that if we don't accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we will spend eternity separated from Him, and it will be worse than anything we have ever experienced on the face of this earth. And that's true. Now, that's not said to scare anybody into heaven, because the God that I worship, the God that I know, the God that loves me, I don't want to go to heaven because I'm scared to go to hell. I want to go to heaven because I want to be with my Father, my Lord, my Savior, who loves me and does everything for me that He can, that will move me in the direction that He desires me to go. Now, in the Scripture that we have today, it seems pretty obvious that the king represents God. And I suggest we take a moment to really think about what God has been willing to forgive in our lives. How has it made your life, your relationship, your future different? Now, if we're going to start talking about forgiveness, if you haven't embrace that relationship with God and you haven't received that forgiveness, that's where you need to start, because you can't embrace what we're talking about today. You can't do this on your own. God has to be a part of it. If you don't have a relationship with God, you cannot experience the type of forgiveness we're talking about today. You cannot forgive people completely in the way Scripture's talking about if God is not a part of your life. You can forgive people, but it's not going to change your life in the way that I think Ray was talking about here. You can forgive somebody and you can feel good about it, and it will help you go on, but it's different when you're forgiving of your own power than when you have the power of God that's enabling you to forgive. And so, and Ray said, he told me there, he did his best to put it in words, but he said, you can't really describe what it's like for that weight to be lifted off of you when you forgive somebody unless it has happened to you. And what he says is true. Do you struggle forgiving others? If we do, I think it causes us to look at a few things. One is, well, before I say that, there's a difference. When you're forgiving someone, it's not just like you flip a switch and you say, okay, I can forgive you and it's no problem anymore, that type of thing. Rarely does that happen. I wonder if that's true forgiveness, because if someone has hurt you and you're struggling, it can sometimes take time. And it needs to be a matter of the heart and a matter of the soul. And you need to know that it's something that is genuine and real. It's not just a flippant thing that you do. So in that context, I'm saying that as we seek to forgive others, there needs to be a realization of what is meant for God to forgive us. We just talked about what it was for God to forgive us. All of what He has done and sought to do, and the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross, He's given us daily opportunities to recognize His love. But we fall short every day, and He forgives us because He loves us so much over and over and over again. And we need to know that. We need to realize that forgiveness is not just something we talk about because we go to church and it means that we just don't get everything right all the time. It's much more than that. And we need to be honest about it. And we need to realize. And when we realize what God is really forgiving us, then we begin to understand what that parable is about, and that it's real. And it's not just some piece of literature. But God forgave us what is the equivalent of something that is astronomical. And it just doesn't make sense that we could be forgiven a debt like that. Secondly, I believe if we struggle forgiving others, part of that struggle is because we don't make God a part of all of our life. We want to compartmentalize, and we say, we'll give God Sunday. We'll give God our devotion time. We'll maybe even give God our family. But when it comes to this serious stuff, this person that did this to me, God, I got this. You don't need this because I know what needs to be done. And that's the type of attitude we can get at times. And when that happens, we're blocking God out. And we cannot live the life God calls us to live. And we cannot forgive in the way God calls us to forgive. I have a question that goes along with this. And you already know the answer. But the question is, should we forgive people who are not sorry? You take it an easy example. Someone cuts you off in traffic. People cut me off in traffic and they have no clue they cut me off. They're just driving crazy. But they don't know that. How long do you think they spent thinking about feeling sorry for that, or concerned, or even one bit anything about me? Zero. Yet if we choose to, we can get fuming, upset. We can carry that into work. It affects the way we interact with our employees. It affects our work that day. It affects what we do with our boss. And some of us carry it so long we bring it back home to our wife and children. And we choose to do. You have to give forgiveness even to people that are not sorry, because like Ray talked about, it's not hurting them. It's hurting you and a lot of the other people in your life, and keeping you from living the life God wants you to live. Consequences of not forgiving. Matthew 6:15 says we must forgive in order to be forgiven. Now I got a question about that. There's a lot of theological study that can go behind this, and I'm not taking all the time to delve into all of that, but I don't really think God is setting up there saying, okay, I want to forgive you, but you got to make sure you get this, 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 and this taken care of before I can have anything to do with that. God is continually in a relationship with us. God continually desires to talk to us. The reason that what I believe is meant by that scripture, it's not that it's untrue, but I think we twist it and misinterpret it or oversimplify it sometimes. The reason we can't be forgiven by God is not because God doesn't want to forgive us, but because of what's in our heart. If we have something that big, that bad, something that's upsetting us against a brother or a sister or against anybody, and then we want God to forgive us, when God forgives us, we're clean, we're cleansed. We can't be cleansed if we're holding on to that junk that's inside of us. So we can't receive the type of forgiveness God wants to give us that's going to make us clean if we're not going to be willing to get rid of the junk that's in our life. And God has said He will help us to do that. But there's so many of us that just hold on to that bitterness And I don't claim that it's easy to let go of it. I've had one situation in my life that probably, I've had lots of situations. This is the most difficult one I can remember and recall and put into words right now. There was a guy that, I don't need to go into all of it, but I was a young teenager. He mistreated me. He made fun of me. He told me literally, his words were, "You will never amount to anything." And at that point, I was a Christian. And I knew I was supposed to pray, and I could not pray for this man. I tried, as a teenager, the age of a lot of these kids up here, I was trying to be genuine, and I knew in my heart, I could say the words, but I knew it wasn't real. And so I began praying to God. I said, "God, help me to be able to pray for him." I knew I couldn't do it. I had to pray to God for the ability to pray for him before I could pray that I would forgive him. And you may be there too. It's not easy. But we must realize that this is real. The parable isn't just a neat story. It has a purpose. So we come now to a time of decision. And I don't know what all of you are going with. I don't know all of your life history. I don't know how you feel about yourself right now, a lot of you. But here are three things to think about. One is, do you need to be forgiven? The answer to that is yes. Every one of us needs to be forgiven every day. But have you asked for forgiveness? And I don't mean just saying, "God, forgive me for the things I did wrong." That's like if you've got a son or daughter, them just coming, they've done all this stuff, it's ticked you off, and you come up to you and say, Brian says, "Wendy, I'm sorry for whatever it was I did," and turns around and walks away. How does that make you feel? That's what we do to God. "God, I'm sorry, whatever I did, just forgive me," and walk away. That's not what forgiveness is about. Forgiveness is from your heart and realizing and having a connection with God and allowing God to move us in such a way that we don't want to do that again because we know it has grieved the heart of God. And we don't want to do that. Second thing, maybe you do know what forgiveness is and you've asked for that forgiveness. But you don't really recognize the value, the pricelessness, the cost that it's been. The value of that. So it doesn't make sense to you that you should have to give up and forgive other people because it actually feels like, you know what, I'm thinking I'm doing more forgiving than God is. I haven't done anything like what this person did. That's where Satan takes you in that. There's no way you can ever out-forgive God. You can't out-give God and you can't out-forgive God either. And then the third thing is, who do you need to forgive? There's anybody. And I'm telling you, you can forgive people that are not alive. I've seen it done. And I've seen people broken when they did that. You can forgive people for hurts that happened decades ago. You can forgive people that don't ask to be forgiven. Sometimes forgiveness, on the other hand, requires you to go to that person in some way and mend that relationship and be honest with them. And that can be difficult too, but you must do it in the way God leads. But if there is forgiveness that you need to give to someone today, don't hold on to it. Remember, the scripture says God can't forgive us if we won't forgive others. So if you're struggling and you're struggling to connect with God and feel like God is really not helping you the way you would want him to, and you have got that in your heart, some of that is because you're holding on to stuff that God can't be a part of. You have to be willing to let God be a part of helping you to forgive that person, and then you can be changed inside. You can be that different person. But that's what it means when it says God cannot forgive you if you will not forgive others. And you need to be forgiven every day just like I do. So I invite you to, we're going to close now. If y'all want to come up, we're going to have an invitation. The altar's open. The altar's open and it's an opportunity. I'll be here. I'm happy to pray with you, whatever it may be you need to pray. The you can come and pray. You don't have to go through me. We don't have to have, because Jesus Christ died on the cross, that curtain was rent from the top to the bottom, which meant we had complete access to him, and so you can do that. And you don't have to come forward and do it, but we've talked about this before. If God is working with you in that way and you make a commitment right now, it may feel strange. It may feel weird. You may wonder why I need to do that when I can do it when I go home, because it's taken a stand, and it's taken a public stand. And it's saying, this is something I'm going to do, and it makes a difference, and I want other people to know it. It's the difference in me complimenting my wife in front of a group of people and me saying, when we get home, honey, you did a good job with this. Now, she will appreciate it either time, but when I do it in front of a group of people, do you think it makes her feel just a little bit different? Now, this isn't about God feeling different. This is about us accepting responsibility. And sometimes it gives more accountability when we've made that statement in front of our brothers and sisters in Christ. So you might want to consider that. But move as God would lead, however he leads. Let's stand together and sing hymn number.
Do verses 1, 2, 3, and 5.